Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished and senior technology professional from Dubai, UAE, Vinisha HK. Vinisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh.
Vinisha is an advisor of digital transformation and strategy in the Office of Senior Leadership with a UAE government entity. She's been recognized, felicitated, and awarded several times. She was recognized as a Global Rising Star of Technology by UK's Top Technology Jury in 2022. Vinisha was also recognized as a Middle East Woman Leader of the Year, as a woman in technology, and she also got the UAE Digital Accelerator Award and many more. So Vinisha, you seem to have achieved so much so early in life. Tell me a little bit about your own journey.
So just like many Indian children, right, getting into either medical or engineering, don't want to be very judgy about it, but that's how it goes. So I started my journey in a very similar manner. I did engineering from BITS Pilani. After completing my engineering degree, I realized that technology is something that I don't want to do, because for me at that point of time, it was all about being behind the laptop and being the person who's coding and not interacting with people. So I was desperately trying to get out and away from technology, and ironically, right? And now I'm totally in love with it.
Absolutely.
So at that point of time, I wanted to run away from technology, started going through and taking up electives like marketing and things of that sort, because I was like, let me just find a solution. Then I did an internship in a company called as Protivity, and we were serving a lot of different clients and sort of listening to their problems, which are related to business and how technology can actually help them, right? And that's where I realized that IT is not just about sitting behind the screen and just, you know, going through code and debugging stuff or being an infrastructure person, but it's a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. There are so many different streams that I could enjoy, and I started loving it. Mm-hmm. First project I remember that I had was related to a government entity where I had to sort of reform the e-services that they were providing. And I remember that people used to literally, in fact, my own father, right? He used to have a lot of trouble with the government service. Mm. So he would go to one place and then he would go to another entity and he would take a paper. And I think similar things we have also seen in India and any other government entities across the world. And that's where, when I was doing an initiative and how we changed and created this one-stop shop and stuff like that, and I saw that impact, I was like, whatever you want to do, the impact sort of magnifies when you can do it with technology. Like, the scalability is so huge. Correct. And Brand Called You, your initiative itself is a huge example, right? If there was no technology, then you could not reach these many.
Absolutely. You and I have been having this conversation.
Yeah, definitely. So it's incredible. Yeah. Well, so that's my reason of sticking to it. After consultancy, I decided to join the government sector, and now I'm working with one of the princes in the UAE as his advisor. Mm-hmm. So I'm the only Indian, you can say, in the entity. Sometimes when I enter and there are new guards, they go like, "Are you working inside?" And I was like, "Yes." So it's very different and a very unique situation. And I'm really, really grateful to everyone who's been part of my life that has led to this moment.
Amazing. Congratulations for this achievement. So, you know, let's now talk about digital transformation and strategy. Can you share some insights on some of the digital transformation initiatives that are being taken?
Sure. So in the region itself, like, we're having a lot of different transformation initiatives being taken. For example, UAE was the first country to actually have a minister for artificial intelligence, for that matter. Oh. Mm-hmm. And then there are various initiatives, that AI strategy, there's an innovation strategy, and we have some new councils and committees also that have been created, mm-hmm. related to digital transformation. And the country has really taken this very seriously, right? With very, what you call, so any sort of strategy that comes in, all the government entities are sort of directed to start working towards them. So they start thinking. So when the AI strategy came in, every entity had to do 2 to 3 AI related initiatives. Mm. And that's where my role also comes in terms of brainstorming that where can we use in our industry, where we can explore the use cases for emerging technology, what can we do with it. So a lot of it is actually driven by policy. When it comes to a country or a government, it's a lot of things is not just related to the technology you use, but the policy that drives it or the councils that are created. So I think these are the aspects which are causing the maximum impact throughout the entities, because one directive that, hey, we have a strategy, every entity has to do this. And that's where people start, trying to explore initiatives and things of that sort.
So, I've often wondered, Vinisha, in the private sector, there is decision-making happens at a certain speed. But when I look at the amazing stuff that is happening in the UAE and in Dubai, what is your perspective on how is it that governments are being able to move so rapidly and implementing so quickly?
So one of the biggest factor to this is, of course, the management support, right? It was a surprise for me as well. When I got into the government, because before I used to think from a consultant's point of view, I was in consulting before, like I was telling you, that time I used to be like, okay, I make a strategy, I go out, right? Now I'm actually seeing how it gets implemented. Mm-hmm. And it surprises me to see that someone so senior, someone who is a His Excellency, someone who is a His Highness, mm-hmm. is actually interested and aware and so much into driving this change, right? The top management really, really involves in terms of pushing these initiatives. Mm-hmm. And there's also certain initiatives, for example, they actually go and visit different entities and see how the customers are being served. Because the main objective is actually looking at the quality of services that is being created for the people. And the reason behind this is, or one of the key objectives behind this is, that there is that clarity that we need to make life very, it needs to be comfortable, right? The quality of life needs to be good. And that is when the economy grows. That sort of clarity is there in the higher management, and they do not shy away from actually stepping into smaller things like, okay, this entity, this is a small office, why are they not serving people correctly? So recently one of the His Highnesses actually visited supermarkets. Like, it's something so basic, just to see how things were happening, right? And one such initiative actually creates an example for others, and everybody gets more cautious. Also, there is a strong mechanism of measuring KPIs and reporting those KPIs. And country being of a good size, I think that is something which also helps in terms of rolling out initiatives, right? Because when I think about India, it's really huge. Mm-hmm. We're very diverse. One of the advantages here is it's not as diverse, it's more integrated as such, and smaller in terms of the size, right? So it helps in pushing initiatives forward faster as well.
Fascinating. It just shows how much difference and involved leadership can do for a country. But moving on, you did, when you started talking, you were telling me about how some forms could be digitized. I'm not sure if you can, but what would be some of the successful digital transformation projects that have been implemented in, while you've been working with the government?
So one of the amazing one was something called as the UAE Pass, right? It is the single identity. Before, people used to have different sign-in, username and password, mm-hmm. for example, for logging into various government services. Now it's just your finger. It's integrated with your mobile number. So whichever government entity website you open, you are sort of having the same login credentials, right? Mm-hmm. So you just put your finger and you log into it. You don't mm-hmm. have to sit and remember various usernames and passwords, which we never do, right? The other thing was UAE Pass had another phase, which was incredible as well. It was before, people had to actually visit physically the government entity, sit in front of a lawyer, for example, and sign in, or notary service, and sign in, for example, memorandum of association, right? When two people are opening a LLC, just giving an example. Mm-hmm. So these kind of things doesn't have to be there anymore, because UAE Pass sort of allows you to do this digital signature. Two people can do it at the same time. Mm-hmm. So Another amazing aspect was how so many government entities are getting integrated day by day. And my vision for the entities that I'm working with is to sort of, sort of separate from the identity of, okay, I need to, as a person who's coming into UAE, I need to go to www.economic.com to get my trade license. I need to go to Road and Transport Authority for doing this service. So sort of removing that that difference, right? Because as a consumer, I need to know how can I start my business. I don't need to know the name of the entity which actually helps me open the business. So sort of integrating it in a way that everybody can actually relate to it. For example, my life event, I go to the UAE government website and I see, I want to open a business. Mm-hmm. I click on it and I do whatever I need to do. Mm-hmm. Very similar interface. Everything is very, consolidated. It's a real one-stop shop. Mm-hmm. And moving away from this identity of, I am economic department, I am this department, I am that department. That is internally for us. Mm-hmm. It does not matter when a person from outside is coming in and sort of settling in, right? So that is what we're trying to do now in terms of some of the entities, is to try having a very consistent, customer experience and customer journey as such, so that people do not get confused who are using the service for the first time, and also focusing mainly on what is the life event that they're trying to resolve, rather than which entity they need to go to. Because I feel this issue is there even when I try services from other governments, right, in other countries. I need to know what is the entity called in India, what is the entity called in Singapore. So that is itself a step back in terms of convenience.
Great response. And before I move further, one more question. And this, are there any challenges, because UAE is such a multicultural place and you have probably employees from almost every nationality working in the UK, in the UAE. Are there any challenges that you face when implementing digital transformation?
So just like any other entity, I always say this, that the maximum challenge when it comes to digital transformation is not related to technology. Mm. It's actually related to the people aspect of it.
Correct.
Sort of creating that right narrative, running the right change management strategy. Because a lot of places I've seen that if the narrative is not right from the side of management, even in private sector, people start having different thought process. Some people start resigning. Some people think that they will be replaced. So sort of creating that clear communication that, hey, everybody, we are going for transformation and we are doing it together. These will be the changes. This is how it's going to impact. For example, you'll start to do more value-added activities if we go ahead with some sort of extreme automation. Mm-hmm. Things like this. This is very important, but most often neglected. Mm-hmm. And that is one of the toughest area to crack is to stop this fear and this, making sure that the communication is absolutely right. Mm-hmm. So that is one area in terms of transformation. The second one, which personally I experience always, is IT is all pumped up. Transformation team is pumped up. They want to implement new initiatives and new, integrate and do projects. And a lot of time those projects are approved as well. And it's all exciting. Only till the only to realize that after the second or third phase of the project, when you're actually looking at the business processes, you realize the processes are not right in the first place. So if you have a bad process and you automate it, you just get a faster bad process, right? So that is another area which I feel is challenging. Now, this could be because of the fact that I'm focusing more on digitalization and transformation, but I feel it needs to be more. Transformation is an organization-wide strategy. And wherever I see IT departments trying to run it themselves or trying to pressurize or trying to get it done, it doesn't work. It needs to involve all the C-level leaderships. Everybody needs to understand the objective, and it needs to be an integrated exercise between business and IT. So that's something which is...
What a great response. Thank you. My next question, Vinisha, is on, there are lots of emerging technologies that are now coming in. There's artificial intelligence, blockchain, IoT. How are you using a lot of these technologies to be able to aid and assist your own transformation as you are moving forward?
So yeah, as I was telling you, emerging technologies are very, very exciting. And there is a lot of excitement in entities. That is something which is like, as soon as you hear about a technology here, the culture is that everybody wants to implement it. I have never seen a laid back attitude in any entity, whether it's public or private.
Yeah.
This is something that is really interesting. As soon as a technology comes out, they want to make a use case. There is a specific budget that we also make sure that exists every year in terms of R&D or sort of implementing new use cases, right? To give that sort of comfort as well. In terms of initiatives, for example, now there was a whole metaverse strategy of UA that was launched, right? That was very recent. And that's where, again, entities in various sectors, for example, if someone is an investor who is not into the country and he needs to sort of see the property, okay, and he wants to explore the city. So there have been initiatives where both services are provided in metaverse to give a good experience to the customer, as well as coming and seeing your buildings and your infrastructure. So those kind of initiatives are ongoing in certain entities. Along with that, AI is something which is very, very strongly being used. Initially, when the whole push of AI had come in, and the whole world was actually going through the hype, the first thing that everyone did was start a chatbot, right? And a lot of those were also failures in different countries and different entities. So they rolled back. But then a lot of those initiatives were actually successful. So in terms of emerging technology, now what I'm seeing is we are reaching that phase where we are doing more of hyper automation, sort of combining different technologies together, and not just doing a AI project for the sake of it. So that maturity is something that I've seen coming in the last 5 to 6 years in different entities, right, that I had worked with earlier as well.
Right.
So that is something which is very interesting. Like one of the initiatives I had seen was customers were actually reaching out and it was like his conversation or his complaint gets converted from voice to text. And then you sort of do text analytics and you do emotion analytics using AI. And then you sort of take an action using RPA on your backend systems. So it's nice to see that now things are actually moving together and how it's actually leading to very good process lead time and other such improvements.
Fascinating. But one of the other challenges, Vinisha, that I have spoken to many people of digital transformation and use of a lot of technology is inclusiveness and accessibility to all people. You know, and the UAE again has people from different economic strata, from different educational backgrounds. How are you ensuring that there is inclusivity and access to all the people who live in the UAE?
This is definitely the hardest question, to be honest with you, because I remember the first initiative, even when I got into the government sector, my father was annoyed. Being a senior citizen, he was like, it used to be so easy. We could just go into the government office and get things done. Why have you moved everything on digital, right? And it makes a lot of sense, right? His generation has not grown up with all sorts of technology. So adoption is much harder there.
Yeah, right.
And that's where I realized like so many people actually end up suffering when we start making things more complicated and more digital. That is where I was talking about how the right balance has come in. I've actually seen entities roll back on certain initiatives, like chatbot, I was telling you. There was so much of annoyance that why everybody who needs support has to go through that. So there were certain scenarios where we actually rolled back on technologies and try to make things simpler. When it comes to the e-services alone, government services on digital channels, we are trying to make sure, in fact, it is a mandatory policy that every service needs to be very accessible also, right? So it needs to, for example, have a sign language avatar who's explaining each service. For people who would still like to continue physical services, like go into the center and continue the service, that option is there. And actually creating the awareness of how to use the digital services. This is something that I learned when I was doing a benchmarking exercise with Estonia. So Estonian government was actually telling me that they would they would actually stand, some of the representatives would stand outside gardens and parks, mm-hmm. and they would actually give physical flyers to senior citizens, telling them that please come and attend this session. We will teach you how to use the government services. Wow. So how much of a non-digital exercises that you need to do in order to be more inclusive and make things easier for digitalization. And a lot of times I tell this to many entities who want to do the transformation, mm-hmm. that don't just get attracted by, you know, fancy technologies. And this is called shiny toy syndrome. Whenever mm-hmm. we see a new technology, we run behind it and we want to implement it. Mm-hmm. But see what you really need. If you don't need AI, don't try to use it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to government sector, right? Try to make things inclusive, try to make things easier. Some service will be easier when it's a basic form comparing to something very complicated, right? So that is something I always iterate on. And I don't shy away from telling companies who are like, okay, we want to do transformation. I don't shy away by telling them on their face that you do not need to use metaverse. You do not need to use AI. Mm-hmm. If we have to do it for R&D purposes, it makes a lot of sense. But when it comes to core services that are being provided to the citizens and residents, we need to really think as in a simple way as possible, right? It needs to be very simplistic, very inclusive, mm-hmm. so that people from any sort of background are able to understand. Also, there is a mandate of making sure every service is available in different languages. That mm. is something which is because, of course, there's a huge expat community in UAE.
Correct. Well said. So I have time for two more questions for you, Vinisha. My next question is, again, you know, I've been to UAE God knows how many times, and I've always seen how easy it is for the private sector to be able to collaborate with government and work closely with government. I wanted to ask you, what role does collaboration and partnerships with the private sector play in driving digital transformation?
So a lot of times, I mean, this is something which even fascinated me, to be honest, the mm-hmm. number of MOUs that we sign with private entities also. Mm-hmm. So one amazing example was actually looking at now, this is a common issue that happens everywhere in the world. Mm. The time creation for opening a new bank account is usually very high in most of the countries.
Correct.
Now, this is a challenge, and there is an element before you open your business account, and that is something called as getting your trade license from the economic department, for example. So here, for example, we see an opportunity for integration between private and public. Because anyway, when you open your trade license, people are coming and submitting their documentation to the government. And then there's a whole process of due diligence and making sure, you know, all the aspects are clear. And then you are given back your details, and then you go to the bank and you submit the documents again. And there's a huge process behind it, which of course impacts the economy if the lead time for opening your business is so long, right? It definitely impacts. So this was, for example, a great opportunity, and how I saw that various government entities are so integrated with the banks that you submit the documents to them, the bank already has the document, and then you can sort of, you know, start. You have your whole business set up and you start your business within 15 to 20 days, which is an amazing lead time for that. So definitely your point on collaborating between public and private sector, it's extensively important, even for government entities. And there is a huge support as well when it comes to private sectors who are doing various initiatives. Like I was telling you, when we had the AI strategy, and then we have something called as the Innovation Week, where private entities are actually going and suggesting innovative ideas which can help improve the lives of the people in the country. So these were few initiatives which were really standing out in terms of transforming.
Amazing. And my last question to you, Vinisha, and this is for thousands of people who will listen to our conversation. Based on your own incredible journey, and I'm so impressed with the kind of work that you are doing and how easily and how well you have been able to articulate so many of your different things that you have done for the UAE government, what would you say are three lessons you would like our viewers and listeners to take away from your own journey, from your learnings, and from our conversation?
The first one, which is again going back into my youth, right? And I always say this to young people who are thinking about whether to go with technology career or no, is technology is more than just sitting behind your laptop, like I was telling you, and coding and doing those things which you think it is.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, there is a huge improvement needed in the way syllabuses are run in universities. And I hear that India is making huge changes into that as well. There is some ongoing shift in terms of how CBSE would also run. So having that clarity that IT and technology is much more than something about like being behind the laptop and coding. There can be a lot of human interaction with it. There are various fields, for example, data, cybersecurity, and whatnot, right? So making sure that young people actually explore and talk to professionals and try to understand what are the various options they have before ditching technology, because I was very close to ditching it. So that's one lesson that I have learned and I would like to share with the young people who are watching your this show. And other than that, the second area that, again, I will reiterate from what I had mentioned earlier, is about do not consider your transformation as an exercise to implement various new technologies or just implementing technologies. Focus very strongly on the aspect of people.
Yeah.
Because if the aspect of people is not taken care, no transformation is going to sustain.
Correct.
In fact, there was a statistics which is 70% of the transformation exercises fail, right? And when you look at all the factors that are responsible for these failures, they're all related to the aspect of humans and people, right? So if you crack that code right, if you take care of your people, if you create the right narrative and communication plans, then definitely there's a huge chance of success of your transformation exercise.
Amazing, amazing. Vinisha, on that note, and your amazing lessons, technology is more than just sitting behind your laptop. There's so much more to technology than what people tend to understand. And thank God you didn't abandon technology. Otherwise, such amazing transformations may not have been happening. And second, you said was transformation is not about technology, but about people, which is such a powerful comment and statement that you made. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your journey, about some of the incredible initiatives that you are taking in a country, which obviously not only understands the importance of transformation and tech, you know, being able to transform, but is supporting its leadership and its management to be able to make a difference. Thank you also for talking to me about so many different aspects of the kind of work that you're doing. Thank you again for speaking to me and good luck.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.